Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's already February 20th and 21st. Valentine's Day came and went. On February 13th, Saturday, we had the redo of the Fat Tuesday road race, which was originally scheduled on Primary Tuesday in Manchester, and Millennium Running needed to shift it with in consultation with the city's mayor to away from the primary. So it actually ran on Saturday the 13th, and it was a lot of fun. Last week's show, we had Siobhan Droney on, and she was talking about archery. So this is a great thing about Northeast Delta Dental. We've got 200 employees, and they all have interests. I never knew that she was a certified coach in USA archery, as well as a certified judge. And as a reminder, if you're interested in that, it's archeryinmotion.com, and you can go check out archery at the Bass Pro Shop in Hooksett, New Hampshire. They have a 30-meter range inside, and coaches generally are there. So who would have thought that you can have beauty and benefits of archery? And she was talking about not only youth and retirees, but folks with ADD issues, autism, etc. She told some delightful stories of archery, and it is truly an elegant sport. In fact, there was a quote, "The history of archery is a history of mankind," because you can, bows and arrows were on caveman drawings, so on and so forth. Great show. Thank you, Siobhan, for joining me last weekend. Now, this weekend with me is not a caveman, but, you know, he's been with me a long time, is Dr. Mitch Gray. Both Mitch and I started at Northeast Delta Dental in June of 1995. And here we are about 21 years later, still toiling at Northeast Delta Dental, having a great time. Thank you, Mitch, for joining me in this weekend. I'm sure you have better things to do. You hang out with me 4 or 5 days a week, now a weekend too. So don't you get sick of me?
No, not at all. Are you kidding? We've been buds for a long time, pal.
And he also knows his performance review is coming
up. Yes, I did know that.
But it's relevant that you're here in February because, of course, February is National Children's Dental Health Month. And a few weeks ago, Dr. Mills was on, one of your colleagues, and he started to touch on this. So let's take it from square one in terms of the importance of dental health in toddlers. And let's start with the new, relatively, for many people, knowledge that you actually should take your toddler to the dentist when the first tooth erupts or by age one. When I was growing up, the thought process was age four. When did that change and why?
That changed a while back. I'd say it's been at least 10 years, Tom. The American Association of Pediatric Dentistry started to take a look at some things. And you know what we found? We found that when we looked inside that baby's mouth, that sometimes, you know, that pretty smile that they have, and that as a grandparent or as a parent that you love just to have that picture, and whoops, all of a sudden, what happens? The baby smiles, and there's white dots on their teeth. Now, that's awful. And you're wondering, what happened? Is it something I've done? We parents are like that, you know. Yeah, well, I'll tell you, it's been a while, but that's been now at the top of the game. What we're finding is that tooth decay, sorry, Tom, I know you got to see your dentist a little late, but sometimes we need to get a jump on that. Now, I have a grandson, and his name is Mitch. Yes, the 529 is in place. They named him after me. But the rest of
smart
it is,
people.
Yes,
it's worth. But the rest it's of it worth is, the name for a 529 plane.
But the rest of it is that he came in and his grandfather, dutifully being a dentist, said, "Hey, you know what? Let's take a look, Kim, and see what he looks like." And we started applying varnish because his teeth were starting to change color.
Okay, so let's stop there for a second. What is fluoride varnish?
Fluoride varnish. In the old days, some of you may remember in this audience, that we used to put trays in your mouth with fluoride? Well, these days, you know what varnish is, right? Mom's out there. Dad's out there. You've probably varnished a few pieces of wood here and there. Well, varnish actually, combined with fluoride, actually keeps the fluoride in contact with the tooth for an extended period of time. And in fact, kind of interesting, you know saliva, the spit you got in your mouth? Yes, that actually sets it and keeps it there longer. So it's more effective than the fluoride trays that probably some of you out there have had in the past. So that fluoride stays there. And we usually ask folks, by the way, when we do this treatment, not to have anything to eat or drink for about a half hour.
So what's the difference between, help educate the audience, what's the difference between fluoride varnish and sealants?
Oh, my goodness. They're miles apart. Miles apart only in that fluoride varnish itself is an application that is made with a brush and it's painted on. Usually it'll last somewhere about the half hour that we talk about. Now, sealants, that's a different item. When you have teeth that don't have any fillings in them, and all of a sudden you start to see the appearance of decay, at that juncture, what you do, well, maybe in the old days, some of you out there might remember those. In the old days, what we used to do is we would probably drill that tooth and put a filling. Nay, nay, no more. What we do now is we actually put a sealant on that tooth. Think about this. The top of your tooth has got grooves, and can you imagine creating that into an ice pond? Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to bring up winter. But can you imagine if you could seal that with a resin or, if you wish, a paint of some sort? And that's what we do. It's essentially a resin that we paint on there. And you know what happens? I know this is going to sound pretty silly. Maybe there's a nutritionist out there. But all of a sudden, the bacteria don't get any food. What do you think happens? Yep, that's the correct answer out there. They die. That's the idea. And so by sealing the bacteria in those grooves, they don't have a shot at getting any food, and they die. I know I don't feel that there's a whole lot of feeling out there for them, that you're feeling bad. But the bottom line is that with that, we can actually suppress, stop some of the decay that exists in those grooves. That's what's up with that, Tom.
Super. Now, baby teeth begin to appear at approximately 6 months of age.
That's about right.
And so tell us, you know, so you're the mom or the dad, obviously, so you're the adult caregiver. I mean, how are you handling brushing of the teeth?
Well, that's a little bit different. When actually, let's step back a little bit. We know that teeth generally come in. You would be amazed, Tom, how many times I get the question, is there something wrong? My child doesn't have any teeth yet. Well, no, there's nothing wrong with your child. It's just that some kids get them earlier or later than others. That's all it is. And if there's no teeth in there, moms and dads, here's the scoop. Don't be concerned. Just rub those little gums for them and start that emotional bond that you have with them. Now, when the teeth do come in, now here comes your job. Now you've got to watch for those. You don't need to put a lot of toothpaste on brushes and other good things like that. But once you see them, you know the ones that come up first? Okay, this is a question. The test is, you're right. It's the upper and lower front four. Those are the ones that we love to take pictures. And what you know is that we want them to look great. Be careful. Use water, brush the teeth, soft bristle brush. Use that and just do that. Or, you know, sometimes you're probably familiar with a finger cot. Well, they actually, if you go to your pharmacy, you'll see a finger cot that looks just like a little teeny toothbrush. But what it has is just a rough coating that'll just get the stuff off of those teeth. So that's what happens with that, Tom.
Now, we have a program at Northeast Health Dental, as you know, called Prevent and Abuse and Neglect Through Dental Awareness, or the PANDA program.
Absolutely.
And one of the things, and most of this is education and cultural, but something called baby bottle syndrome. Why don't you describe what that is and what a mom should not do, actually?
Oh, boy. I'll tell you, you really hit on a hot button for me. This baby bottle syndrome, It's a lot of folks say, well, you know, is this when I give the baby in his bottle some liquid of some sort, usually milk or juice, and I leave it in there, and unfortunately, the milk or juice, the bacteria that are in your mouth actually create an acid, and that acid attacks those teeth. And it just keeps doing that all the time as long as that solution stays in mouth. Because once the baby's asleep, the milk or juice will rest in their cheek. And so the bacteria have a chance to multiply and actually create some problems in terms of those beautiful front teeth that we were just talking about.
So a dad or a mom who's thinking maybe the child is crying, you know, leave a bottle with the baby is actually not doing a service there.
Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, one of the things that you remember I told you about little Mitch. Well, one of the things that I told Kim, I said, Kim, whatever you do, if you're going to put him to sleep, use water. That's as simple as it is. If you must do that, be careful of the habits that you start though, because all of a sudden there's going to be an expectation at that particular time that there's going to be something there. That, you know, they have a natural sucking mechanism. Those of you out there who have breastfed your babies, you know, that just comes naturally. That happens when they're born and until, you know, whenever they're ready to quit. And whenever you're ready to quit, because what I know is this, enough mothers have told me, oh, I know when those teeth come in, you should be breastfeeding this baby. Well, I'm a guy, and I don't breastfeed babies. But just to let you know, that's what's going on there.
So that's the Panda program again.
That's the Panda program.
So do not put your baby to bed with the milk in the bottle.
Yeah, something else, Tom. Watch the sippy cups, okay? Because that's something else that we do. We have a tendency to put all kinds of stuff in sippy cups. And we're proud that, you know, the child is able to hang on to the handle on that sippy cup and actually drink on their own.
All right, so after commercial break, we will talk about why constant drinking and snacking like that increases the chance of caries or cavities. Tom Raffio, please stay tuned with Dr. Mitch Curray for more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio. This weekend, the 20th and 21st of February, I'm with Dr. Mitch Curray, longtime fellow employee at Northeast Delta Dental, our chief dental officer. February is National Children's Dental Health Month, so it was very appropriate for Mitch to be with me this weekend. So one of the things we want to talk about is the first appointment that you as a mom or dad taking your toddler to the dentist. And again, in my day, we were dragged at age 4, but now we know that your first visit really should take place within 6 months of the first tooth erupting around age 1. So tell us about that first appointment.
Well, I'll tell you, that's a great first appointment because in this particular case, it involves your staff, it involves the patients who are in and around in the office, and it also involves the mom. Now, the mom is the key person, but get this. Can you imagine going into your dental office and, oh, you're aware out there, right, that babies cry and scream? Oh, okay, good.
Well, They do?
They do. I just want to tell you that it's important that we prepare the patients because all of a sudden, you know that shriek that you've heard late at night? Well, guess what? It happens in the dental office, too. And so we have to prepare the patients in and around there. And what we do at staff meeting in the morning is we just let everybody know they're going to hear some noise and it's a baby in here. That first appointment, by the way, could last as little as 10 minutes. But the key thing here is to make the parents the first ones, the ones on the front end who actually look at things. And so, sure enough, they come in. Some, you look at the dental chair. I mean, can you imagine putting a toddler in that dental chair? That's going to be tough. That kid is going to be scared, never mind some adults that I know. But nonetheless, the bottom line is that trying to put the child in there, even when you put the child with his back on mom's belly, that's really tough because some of them are pretty squirmy. And so we have a better system that we use. This is a mother is sitting, holding that baby in a bear hug, face to face. And myself or a hygienist is knee to knee with her. She brings the baby back into my lap, and we can actually take a look and see what's going on and educate the mom at the same time. Hey, mom, take a look at this. Can you believe, did you notice that they had a first molar back there? No, I didn't know that. So what we'll do is we'll have a dental assistant in the room, and they will have like a pen light. And I'm not wearing a mask usually, or if I am, it's got a funny face on it, depending on the child. And so we take a look, and she's got the legs, by the way, around her waist, and she's gently holding the hands. And all of a sudden, you know what happens next. That baby starts to scream. Oh, that's wonderful. But you have to be careful. You, as the dentist or hygienist, you've just got to go along with that and just keep talking to that child and just say, you know, you're going to get an A+ for this or whatever it may be you want to say. But it has to be reinforcing words, and that child is going to scream. Can you think of a better way to get a child to open their mouth? Of course not. So here we go, and we take a look inside. And what we're doing is we're telling the mom, look here, this is what's going on. Wow, here's a first molar. And this way, as a parent, she can repeat this at home with her husband, and they can take a look at that and say, whoa, what's going on? Let me leave something else with you. As much as we try to be careful as parents and grandparents, sometimes we don't see everything that's going on. Medical and dental are really coming together more and more. There are some courses out there for us as dentists that has us look in the mouth, and we look at teeth, we look at gums, we look at cheeks, and yes, we look underneath where the throat is, we look in and around ears. Yes, this is a dentist looking at these things. This is important because then we're starting to get the idea that along with their pediatrician, we would like to have perhaps a conversation, an interprofessional approach is what I call it. This is important.
Okay, so let's pause here. So pediatricians and better communicating with dentists and vice versa. I know that your colleague, Dr. Mills, has been working on that locally in some of the initiatives and conferences and so forth. So are the dental and medical schools starting to teach that, or has this just been sort of a natural progression? And in your career, have you seen, compared to, say, like even 10 years ago, much better cooperation between the pediatrician and the dentist?
Tom, I don't think there's any doubt about that. In fact, if you start to look at the curriculums for the various universities, you'll see that the dental schools are now teaching, just as I was talking, you know, not just looking at the teeth, not just looking at the gums, but looking at the child, the face, and so forth. That's coming more and more prevalent. And some schools actually have a separate department that is akin to the dental school, and it's a medical a department. And so you're starting to see the child, not just the child, but adults too, Tom. You're starting to see them become more like an overall person. And as you have said so many times, and I too, it's certainly about oral health, but it's about overall health too. So I think we're starting to come together more and more. As a matter of fact, Tom, in May, I'm attending a conference, and that particular conference has medical people in it. It's the American Association for Oral and Systemic Health, and it's a mix of MDs, DDSs, DMDs, hygienists, because they're starting to come together. It's just such a nice change. And you know what? I've learned a lot, and I think anybody who's open to this possibility can learn a lot for their patients, because it's not just about teeth and gums.
And I think the rising tide helps everybody, because obviously if a pediatrician sees something, he or she is going to refer the toddler to the dentist. And so it's great for both professions. And so I'm really glad to hear that the schools are starting to get into it. Obviously, oral health habits are established young, and that's one of the reasons why we promote the Oral Health Challenge at Northeast Delta Dental Stadium, where we
absolutely
where children of participating subscribers who go to participating dentists demonstrate that they brush and floss in between visits, and they earn tickets to the game, and then we get to have them come out in the field with a tooth fairy and really get that oral health messaging out there. But
fun times.
Would you explain to listening audience why it's so important to establish those habits? Because you don't want the progression of 2 surface filling, 3 surface, 4 crown, and then an implant. So if, you know, as you know, I have 4 children, and they were fortunate to have fluoridated or access to fluoridated water. They brushed and flossed. They hardly have any caries, if any. Whereas even though my parents took me to the dentist and instinctively knew the importance of oral health, I didn't have fluoridated water, so I have amalgam fillings in my mouth. So tell us how that, you know, if you don't get that carry in the first place, you're not going to have that progression. Now, you still may have gum issues down the road, but talk about that progression.
I think what I'd like to do is actually perhaps leave some tips with the folks, because our sense is one of, you know, keeping your gums and teeth healthy, and the use of a small, tiny toothbrush with a child. There's just no doubt that unless we're doing that, even when the kids turn age 2, it's time to start flossing. That's right. And you're going to have to monitor that. There's some real cute floss ways to do that. But as soon as those teeth start to touch, it's important that the flossing start to occur. So it's not just about brushing the teeth. It's not just about flossing. It's about being observant and looking for other things. I think, having been woken up a couple of times myself, when teeth are erupting, this is the time when moms and dads get that call at 2 a.m. It's about sore gums, and we try teething rings, cold washcloth, and other good things along that line. And it's important that we do that, because that will help them out. The thumb sucking is the other thing that has been brought up in this age range. Is it okay for now? 0 to 3, somewhere in there? Yeah. But after age 3, watch the chronic thumb sucking, because that can cause some baby teeth to move out of position and the permanent teeth to come in incorrectly. So I hope that helps in terms of just, you know, the children. So pacifiers, do they work? Yeah, they work. Just buy the right ones, not the ones that are cone-shaped. So
now, as an adult, and then I'll review all the different resources that we have.
Yeah.
As an adult, I sometimes get this question, which is manual toothbrush or electric toothbrush? and I know when I ask this of Shannon, your colleague, my colleague, and your colleague, he always says, whatever gets you to brush is the correct answer. How would you answer the question?
I would have to agree. I think the best toothbrush is the one that you put in your mouth.
And use.
So I have no preference, and I like some of the timing mechanisms on the electric toothbrushes, but you know what? Actually, Northeast Delta Dental has a little timer that we give out at some of our conferences. And so, you know, the key is, it's not the fact that you get the brush in your mouth, it's how long you put it in there for and how effective.
And how long normally should you brush?
Well, here's the way I do it, okay? And this is what I suggest to the patients. 2 minutes. You'd be surprised, Tom, how long 2 minutes is. So if you're going to do the top left first or top right first, spend half of the time, 30 seconds, 30 seconds, 30 seconds, and 30 seconds.
I love it.
2 minutes.
And again, it's whatever floats your boat, so you'll do it. I know, for example, I floss a lot better now that they have that floss on a stick that almost looks like
neat?
A horseshoe. Like,
yes.
I'm a much better flosser than when I used to have to use the string. So let's review some sources. So We started to touch on Health Rural Wellness. There's a great website, healthruralwellness.com. That's not just if your employer has HOW through Northeast Delta Dental, but it's a great resource. If you don't have individual dental insurance and you want to buy it, it's deltadentalcoversme.com. And if you want to see what your dental score is, you can go at mydentalscore.com. And you'd mentioned the knee-to-knee, the first appointment. Can they Google that, or is that a website?
Oh, yes. Let me tell you where you can find that. This is simple. Just put it right on your browser. Knee-to-knee dental exam. And the one I like best, there's six six possibilities there for video. I like the one with Lisa Hopkins.
Perfect.
That's the one that works best for me.
Mitch, thank you for joining me this week
fun.
On the 20th, 21st. I'll have you back. Obviously, February is National Children's Dental Health Month. We always get good feedback from moms and dads when they listen to you. Tom Raffio returns next weekend with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.